Welcome to the second season of Operational Harmony, balancing business and mental well-being, where we achieve goals without sacrificing peace. Our host, Nikki, is the owner and founder of Nikki's Office, where she specializes in social media management, business audits, and business coaching. Her journey through mental health and entrepreneurship not only brings awareness, but also equips her with valuable coping skills. This unique experience offers a fresh perspective on approaching challenges and innovating in different ways. Let's introduce our guest.
Hi, I am Tanu. I'm a life coach, I'm a mentor, I'm a healer. And today we are going to talk about loneliness. Why loneliness? Because in my own experience, I feel that fighting with loneliness and struggling with loneliness is a big, big, big subject. People often don't understand how loneliness can impact their whole life. How longing for somebody to be in their life can bring your emotions so dull and so down that you start losing your confidence, that you start feeling that you are not worthy, that you start feeling that you are not good enough. But that is not the truth. The truth is you are good enough as you are. But how to turn that loneliness into solitude is a process. A process which brings you closer to yourself so that you are able to fill that void. Because once you start filling that void and filling your own cup, everything becomes blissful. So today we are going to talk about all those steps and all those small moments which we go through on a day-to-day basis. And somehow the roots of every difficulty we face on emotional level goes down to your childhood. So in this podcast, we are going to explore that. And I'll try myself best to be able to give you all the informations of all the questions you guys have. Thank you so much for having me here.
So there's a saying, right, that being alone is different than being lonely. And mm-hmm. I am quite okay with being alone. Mm-hmm. I am never okay with that feeling of, oh no, like I'm alone. Completely different. Yeah, I'm in a house with 10 people in it at the moment. I think it's 10. Numbers are a thing. But there's mm-hmm. a whole bunch of people here. And so like I know that I could go out there and I could talk to anybody I wanted to. Yes. But me being in here, even when I'm not necessarily talking on a podcast at the time, I'm fine with what I'm doing. And if anytime I'm like, oh wait, you know what? I need to talk to like a person in front of me. I just walk out the door and go talk to somebody. But not everybody can do that. Yes. So how do you differentiate when people come to you that difference? Like, how do you show them, look, there are times when you will feel lonely and this is kind of how you should go. But being alone, how do you allow people to be okay with being alone?
So I feel, as you mentioned, that being alone and feeling loneliness is a different thing. If you make a conscious choice of living alone, then you are making a conscious choice because you want to be alone. Now, there can be different reasons why you want to stay alone. Some people don't want to live with their family because they need their privacy. They want to take charge of their life. They want to be independent. And that is completely okay. The issue starts where they are not able to fill that void, which sometimes comes and goes every now and then when they are looking at people who are getting married or who are in relationship or who have a companionship. Because when this feeling comes in, it comes from the place of love. And if you are living alone and you want to share that space, I'm not saying that we don't love our family. We love our family, we love our friends, we love our siblings. But when it comes in terms of romantic relationship, in my experience, and also when I get the clients, they also ask me the same question. Like, this kind of love is a little different because this love is for our partnership. This love is where we want to be with somebody where we can share our success, our failure, our vulnerability, everything. There is a different kind of love. There is a different kind of concept behind it. So when you make a conscious choice of living alone, you're very confident. But the moment that feeling where you want to share things with certain person or people, that hits, then this feeling of alone converts into loneliness. Because it's a switch. If you are busy, you will not think about it. But the moment you will sit, or the moment you will see something, any incidents, any situation, any conversation, even watching a movie, then those things gets to you. Now, if you are feeling that emotion, that loneliness, first of all, ask yourself the questions. Why am I feeling this? Because if I have made the decision of living alone, then I made a conscious effort. But the subconscious is telling me something, because that's why I'm feeling something. So if the subconscious is telling me that I want somebody who I can share my feelings with, then it becomes a different game. If you are at a certain place where you are going out and dating people, and you're willingly doing it, and thankfully you have got the same chemistry and wavelength and match, and then you decide to go ahead, move on in life. But when you have gone through different breakups or betrayal or cheating in life, especially in terms of romantic relationship, it becomes very difficult to trust somebody. And sometimes those reasons also become one of the reasons to stay alone. That I have had enough share of my heartbreaks. I cannot deal with it anymore. Now I'm going to be myself. And I don't want anybody in my life. Again, there are two scenarios. It's a topic which is interconnected with so many things. It's very deep, right? So when you come from that mindset, or when you come from that kind of experience where something has happened in the past, then filling that void is very important. Because you were with somebody, you are sharing everything, you are happy, you are doing things. Unfortunately, things did not go well, and now you're alone, right? So how to fill that kind of void? Because earlier it was there, the person was there, now it's not there. Usually people who operate from conscious level, they will push themselves to be busy 24/7. But that is one of the coping mechanisms. It is not the solution of what you're feeling. That's why feeling what you're feeling is very important. The moment you start feeling, okay, how does that make you feel? I felt cheated. I felt betrayed. I felt that I was not worthy. Or why did I waste my time on something which was never even meant to be? Or some people get mad at their self, like, how can I let this happen to myself? Why was I not able to see the red flags even before it was coming? How can I be so stupid? These are the thoughts that generally people have, right? And the thing is, we can be really kind and compassionate to others when we see their journey of breakup. But when it comes on us, we start beating up ourselves.
Yeah.
We are not able to process. We are not able to accept that this has happened, because at the back of the mind, it's like, oh my God, how can I let this happen to myself? Like, what was wrong with me? And when you indulge yourself in those feelings on a deeper level, you start becoming a little better. I mean, bitter. You start doing things which you love. You basically stop living your own life and you come on autopilot. But is it going to bring you happiness? No. It's taking you far away from your own bliss and your own happiness. So the first step towards is feel what you're feeling without judging yourself, without beating up yourself, without saying that, okay, I did something wrong. Well, in my opinion, you did what was in your capacity in that moment.
Hindsight is always 20/20, and we always beat ourselves up. No, but I see it so clearly now. If I'd have just paid attention on the second date, he said some stupid stuff. I should have realized then. Yeah, but you're looking at it through the lens of, oh my gosh, he just cheated on me for the entire time we were together. Yes. But, and those comments, yes, when you're on your second date, could have went in the right direction. But at that time, you saw or heard them as innocent comments. They weren't like the rage and whatever fuel divisions you're looking back
Yes,
on.
yes, yes. Resentment, guilt, regret, anger. These are very powerful emotions. And their grip on you is very powerful. And it takes only three incidents to create a pattern for this or any kind of behavior in life. And that's why when people like I still have a client which is going on, and it's very difficult for her to come out of that cheated and betrayed phase. It's been 3 years. She has not dated anybody. And this was her second heartbreak. And she still says that I'm trying. No doubt I have started feeling much better about myself. And I have started doing things which I love to do. That brings me a lot of peace. That brings me a lot of contentment because it felt like when I was in that relationship, I was not living for myself, but I was living for that person. Because it's natural. And we also talked about this, there are two, three categories of people. One who fall in love like head over heels. They will do anything for you. Like their own job, their own priorities will go aside, and the people who they love will be the only whole soul center of attraction. And I'm not judging anybody, but this is how some people are, you know? And again, that is their personality. They should accept who they are. But this is also a place where somebody needs to bring them in awareness of, okay, you love somebody, beautiful, great, amazing, but that should not define your life. You still need to be in charge of your life. Do what you used to do. Love what you used to love. Do things for yourself, which makes you happy still. Because if you are happy from your internal, from your soul, then if the person you connect with, and that is also a person who is in awareness of himself, and he is also believing in the same stuff which you do, then it becomes a combination of two blissful souls. And that brings more bliss in your life. But unfortunately, in most of the cases, that doesn't happen.
I was
So when
told
that doesn't happen,
once,
yeah.
I was told once that if you think you're in love and that person is hung the moon, name one thing that is something bad about them. It doesn't have to be that they have, an ugly face or whatever. It doesn't have to be
It can be
huge.
anything, smallest
You
thing.
have to name one bad habit because if you don't know one bad habit, you don't love them. It's not, no, that's like, what is it? Puppy love, where they're the most perfect person on the planet. Nothing could ever go wrong because y'all are going to be together for the sweet 16 love, right?
See, so why do you think it happens, Nikki?
Because we put blinders on, we put the rose-colored glasses on, and we're like, yeah, no, I can't see anything. And then you take the rose-colored glasses off, and there's his underwear
Boom.
on the floor, and like, he leaves the toilet seat up and you've fallen in for the third time this week,
Yes.
So kind of that type thing. And as once we can say honestly, yes, I have been around this person forever. I have talked to them about a lot of different things and we agree on some of the basics, right? Okay, now tell me something you don't like about them. Again, tiny little something. He leaves his underwear
Anything.
on the floor,
Yeah.
right? Just one thing, because that means you're still grounded in reality. You can still see those bad
Exactly.
things. They're just not that bad, right?
Exactly.
Where 6 months after you get married, it's going to be a bad thing. Why won't he ever pick up the underwear? Like, it's a thing. You allowed it when you were dating. It's fine. At the
Ground
same
rules needs to be set here.
But if you walk into a relationship and you're like, we talked about everything and nothing, and we agreed on everything and nothing, first of all, one of you is being a complete and utter liar if you believe and have the same viewpoints on absolutely everything. Somebody's lying. And number two, you've got those rose-colored glasses on, and that toilet seat is going to remind you at 3 a.m. that there's a problem. And if you're in it, that if you're so deep into that rose-colored glasses time, that 3 a.m. wake-up call is going to lead you to go in and start like yelling at him while he's trying to sleep.
This is very interesting. This is very interesting because you know why this happens? Because different people come from a different background and different mindset. So during my training with hypnotherapy, I learned about how different people act differently in love, right? So for some people, coming in relationship and staying in relationship is so strongly committed for their for their sense of being, like they will love that person wholeheartedly. And if there is a breakup, they won't be able to move on to the other person for years. That's how they are, right? And for some people, moving on is like this, snap of a finger. Like they will just move on. Okay, this Wednesday we had a breakup. Next Wednesday they are dating and they are moving on in their life. Because of their programming of their mind, that's how it happens. Same case happens when we were dating, you were different, and now you are different. After the marriage, you are different. Why? Because when the dating phase was going on, we both were at the best of our nature, our behavior, our love for each other, affection for each other. But after the marriage happens, the reality is we have to take care of the house, we have to take care of the jobs, we have to take care of the chores, we have to take care of this, that, blah, blah, blah. So this becomes a little uncomfortable for a person who has fallen in love head over heels because, again, the rosy glasses you are talking about. If it was before, why cannot be it after marriage as well, right? On the other hand, the person who is a little rational and practical, they will be like, I love you. I already got married to you. You're already mine, right? Now you need to understand that this is us and we are taking care of these things together. But people who are extremely sensitive or extremely emotional, it takes a toll on their emotions. If the partner is not assuring over and over again that I am here, I'm not going anywhere. Again, personality. I'm not saying what is wrong and what is wrong. I'm not saying this should be this way and this should be that way. No, they are their personalities. What helps in between? The communication. How you're feeling. How you are seeing things. Sometimes we listen to the things which were not even meant to be told. We are reading in between lines because our brain is constantly tuck, 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 something is going on. So if the communication is not very constructive or in awareness, or both parties are not ready to talk on the same page, then it becomes very difficult. But the moment we start working on our communication skill, everything starts becoming a little easy. And that's how the smoothness starts coming slowly and gradually. It's all about how we take things. We can have disagreements, we can have different opinions, we can have different thought processes. But how we manage or how we learn to come on the same page, or at least in between of what we both want, then it becomes easy to navigate everything in life. That's why sometimes I've also seen people are married, but they feel very alone in the relationship. You know what I mean? Like there is a loneliness. Why? Because physically they have come together, but the feelings and the heart is going apart.
I think that the times that I've heard that the most, at least lately, obviously this happens in other situations, but after a couple has a child, if mom is usually considered to be the main parent and the dad does whatever the dad does, right? Whether it's work, they. And I think that the people, when you are staying home all the time and you're only with the kid all the time, that's a wonderful thing for some people. Other people, that's their worst nightmare. It all depends on how you work. But with that husband, with the husband being the one who goes off to work And then when he comes home and he's like, well, I just worked for 8 hours. I'm going to sit down on the couch and I'm not going to do anything. So now you're a single mom living in a house with a guy. Whether or not that's the baby, like it doesn't even matter if that's the baby's daddy or not. You are essentially a single mother because there's no help. And so I think that a lot of the times that may obviously that would make people feel alone
Yes,
or lonely even because
100%.
like they 100% when they got pregnant, you know, all those promises are made. Oh, I'm gonna take care of you. I'm gonna help with the trash. I'm gonna take the baby for walks. You know, I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do. And then as soon as the baby's born, and it's crying at night and all this other stuff, the other person is like, no, that's your job. I didn't agree that I was going to change poopy diapers. That's not my, not no, not a,
I hear
so,
you.
and I think some of that kind of happens because that's the father has never actually been around kids before. So they're like, yes, I love kids. I want to have my own kids. I want to have kids. And then they get around the kid for the first time and they're like,
What's
ew.
happening?
It smells really bad.
Reality hits, yes.
Reality
I know, I.
smacks them in the face, not just a little bit,
Yeah.
but like with a whole ass hammer or something, right? Because now it's right in front of their faces and they're just like, I don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle it because they thought they were strutting in there with, oh, this isn't a big deal. I can do this. And then it is a big deal.
It is.
So
A
one
kid
of
is a
them
big
ends up being.
responsibility.
Yeah, and so they end up, one of them feels like they're alone or lonely, and then the other one is just kind of like, I'm here. I'm still married to you. Hopefully, I'm not cheating on you, but I bring in the money. That's my part in this. That's my contribution.
Yes. I totally understand. And this is a very realistic example, Nikki. I'm happy that you brought it up. Because I think a week ago I was talking to one of my friends and she has two kids, right? I don't have any kid yet, but I know what major responsibility comes when the kid comes because I'm the eldest one in my house and my siblings are almost 11 years younger to me or 13 years younger to me. So I have that sense where I have seen kids growing while I was growing. She was exactly telling me the same thing that she is also working, and the husband is also working. The kids are, I think, 7 years and 3 years. And the whole responsibility from laundry to picking kids up, dropping them to their school, cooking, taking care of the house, everything is her responsibility. And if sometimes she is extremely exhausted and she's really tired and she's not able to make food on time, or she asks, like, you know what? Can you please prepare dinner because I have to leave. I have to go for my job. She does 4 to 10 shifts. She said it breaks my heart when my husband, instead of understanding, he makes faces and he starts giving me silent treatment.
Oh, I hate the silent treatment. That's the most evil way to handle something on the planet. Don't do that to me. Start
Exactly.
talking.
Exactly. So the thing is, there are two, three ways where we can deal with this. And again, I have not been in this situation, so I'm not an expert, but I'm telling you from my own experience and listening to other people, my friends and my family, and all those situations, I feel that the first thing is acceptance of what it is and all that is. Because the moment we start accepting that this is how it is going to be, our attachment of expectations from the person ends. And then we feel a little easy because I was on already not asking you to do something for me because I've prepared myself. This is how it's going to be. If you bring on some help, more than enough. I'm very happy for that. But if you don't do anything, I'm not going to let it affect me in a bad way so that I am having a bad day at home and then that is affecting my work as well. I know it's not very easy to do. It's not very like a rosy thing to see and feel and understand. No, I will be able to do it. No, it's not easy. It's hard. It's difficult. It's like a path which has all kind of thorns and rocks. But the thing is, acceptance bring you some sense of calmness within, because then you start accepting it fully that it is my responsibility, it is going to be my responsibility. The other person is not available. That is for sure. That is the truth. The other person is not available. Second thing, when you be in this position, and especially if you have small kids around, it's very difficult for you to get me time. So to ground yourself, do some 3 minute to 5 minute breathing exercises. It helps you to first connect with yourself, and it also helps you to release the emotions which you are holding. Just like in the beginning of the session, we did a small meditation, right? It can be a few minutes, but it brings so much easiness and so much calm within that the trigger which you were facing or suffering from, that slowly and gradually goes down. Because the hook with the expectation is the more you expect, the more you are hurt. And the more you are hurt, the more bitter you become. The more bitter you become, everything starts becoming like annoying to you. Everything, because everything is connected. So how to hold the space within yourself where you feel, okay, you know what? I can do this. And without beating up yourself or without blaming other person. Because you cannot change other person. You can only have conversations with them. You can only ask for help. Because asking for help is also a big problem sometimes. Some people are not good at asking help. It was a big problem for me too. Now I have started learning to ask for help. Like, okay, it is okay to ask for help. For me, it was not easy. The same friend I'm talking about, she has the same problem. So if you're not asking for help, the other person will not know what you are in need of. Sometimes this also becomes a big issue that I cannot read your mind.
Yeah, no, I've heard arguments about that all my life. Can't read your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So asking help is the other thing. Third, having proper conversation. Take out half hour, 45 minutes, and not in emotional triggered way. No. When you and the other person is in a good mood, or if you feel that there is no time to be a good time, then you mark it in your calendar. Give your Zoom link. Hey, this is the date. This is the time. We are connecting on Zoom. And this is the propaganda for this meeting. And we are going to talk about this. It's as simple as that. Because when marriage happens, two people are coming together. And sometimes other person doesn't know what is going on in your body and in your mind, because female body is completely different than male body. The hormones are completely different than male body. That's why we have to express ourselves. Okay, this is what I'm feeling because I'm going through this. And I need you to support me in this. If you cannot support me, at least just stand by my side. I will feel the support from you. Sometimes, and I know I have been like this as well, sometimes I don't want any solution. I don't want any suggestion. I don't want any advice. I just want you to listen to me what I'm saying. That's it. And that itself brings a sense of comfort. But again, if you're not having that confidence, if you're not having that kind of coordination, you are going to feel alone. But then again, it also becomes your responsibility to pick yourself up. Start doing things which makes you happy. I told about the network. I told about having communication with yourself in front of the mirror. Hey, you're doing a good job. I know how it feels. I know it's tough, but I'm there for you and I'm there with you. So somehow when you're having communication with yourself, it feels like you're empowering yourself by yourself. And believe me, Nikki, when you cross this phase, you feel so empowered. Then you start understanding that even though you went through this loneliness phase, it became a little, you know, it starts turning a little bit of solitude, because you now know what are your needs and how can you fulfill your own needs by yourself. despite of having a marriage or not having a marriage. Every marriage has ups and downs, right? I'm not saying all the couples are perfect. Nobody's perfect. As a human, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. People we are living with, they are not perfect. But again, willingness should be there. If there is no willingness, then that's a complete exceptional story. Then you cannot do anything about it. But a few points, if we keep in mind on day-to-day basis, things can get better. And the void you are feeling, you will be able to fill it by yourself, with yourself. The only thing is to understand loving yourself as important as loving others and fulfilling their duties. So just like you're doing things for themselves and fulfilling their duties for them, the moment you start realizing that you are the person who is the most important person in this whole world, you have come alone and you're going to leave this world alone. Things starts changing. It took me years to understand this concept, but I did. Today I'm married. I'm with a person. But I never feel alone. And there is no feeling of loneliness as well. And the best part is, even when he's going, and he makes fun of me for that, even when he's apart, like he's going for his work or somewhere he's traveling for 4 days or 5 days or whatever, and I'm alone in my house, he's like, are you missing me? I'm like, nah, I'm busy. And I'm busy. I'm busy what? I'm listening to songs. I'm singing. I'm dancing. I'm doing my work. I'm coaching others. I'm making videos. I'm doing my podcast. Because I'm doing what I love to do. So when you do what you love to do, despite of what you're doing in your life as a mother, as a daughter-in-law, as a wife, as a sister, as a whatever, then the emotions, the overwhelmness of emotion, that doesn't bother you that much because you are feeding your own soul with something which you love. Love is a big word. Love is a big emotion. So if we can blind ourselves in loving others, why can't we have one cup of love in form of coffee or tea or anything for yourself? And that's what I teach people because you'll be surprised. I asked, I think it was last year or last to last year, a girl came to me for coaching, right? And it was our third session. And she was very upset that day. So I asked her, so tell me, when was the last time you did something which you love to do? Anything. What was your hobby as a child? And she paused for a second. And then she said, this is so surprising because I don't remember doing anything after I crossed the age of 8. So after 8 years, as a girl child, she didn't do anything that she used to do. And I asked her, so as a child, what were you doing? What was the thing? What were the activities that brought you happiness? She said, I love to dance and I love to paint. I said, okay, so do you have a painting brush or color or anything with you right now? She said, yeah, I have. So she went, it was an online session, right? So she went to the other room. She brought some sketch pens, colorful pens, I guess. I said, can you write one sentence and then start drawing or doing something? And I told her, just write, hi. I'm sorry. I lost you somewhere when I was growing up. I lost the innocence. I lost the happiness. And I lost my creativity because I could not do it anymore. But today I am back. And I am holding this pen to write you a letter because I'm sorry. And I want to get back to you again. Because I want to be happy again. And whatever else comes in your mind, you can start writing and then let me know how it goes. She kept crying and she kept writing the letter. And by the end of the day, I mean, by the end of the session, she was feeling very light. She said, "This is the very first time." And she shared a lot of stuff with me that day. She said, "Tanu, this is the very first time I'm sharing my heart to somebody. So thank you for holding space for me." And then on the next session, I asked, "How are you feeling today?" She said, "Can you believe I joined salsa classes and I'm doing painting?" I'm like, "Wow, that's amazing." So this is the impact of loving yourself as who you are and what you are. And instead of expecting from others to start doing things for you, start providing yourself what you would love to do. Because that is your emotion. And you will have to fill your cup by yourself. So if you want happiness and somebody else is giving you annoyingness, is it going to work? No. If you want to go to somebody and you just want that person to be completely silent with you or just hold the space for you without saying anything, and that person start giving you lectures or start preaching you that you were wrong and you shouldn't have done this, then blah blah blah. You're going to shrink your personality. You will start having fear of having communication. You will start feeling scared. Oh my God, should I do now? Should I approach that person? Should I not? Just like you parent your kids, you need to reparent yourself. And that's what called inner child healing. It's all about you. Every emotion, every thought, every feeling. You just have to acknowledge, how am I feeling today? What can I do for myself today, which will make me very happy, which will make me feel proud, which will make me like, oh my God, this world is so beautiful. When you have that passion within you, nothing else matters. I'm not saying that I'm very perfect with my husband. No, he's not perfect to me. I'm not perfect to him, right? But because we have our cups so full with whatever we love to do, we don't interfere. Okay, you should not do this and what you should not do that. No. As an individual, I know you have a different personality. I have a different personality. And we have a beautiful understanding of this is where you come from. This is where I come from. He's from a different culture background. I'm from a different culture background, right? But the importance of knowing that we are, as an individual, whole and complete person, and it is our responsibility to take charge of our own happiness, everything becomes easy. Everything becomes easy. So this awareness, this sense that only I can map, or I can make ha myself happy, or it is my responsibility to make myself happy. Half of the things gets resolved like this, because then we are not looking outside of us. I'm so happy to be here today, right? This is the podcast. I love doing these things. And imagine if somebody keeps stopping me from doing what I love. I will lose my confidence. I will lose my happiness. I will lose my personality. I will start losing my mind at one point. Because then my whole identity is gone.
Not easy to come back from that either.
That happens when, unfortunately, that happens when you have suffered narcissistic abuse or trauma.
Yes. Yes, it is. Sorry, my mom was a narcissist. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I hear you. I understand you because I also have evolved a lot in my own journey. Like if you have met me 8 years ago or maybe 9 years ago, I would have been a completely different person. Then all this wisdom or maturity, whatever I am having right now, I would be like, nah, nothing works, nothing makes sense. But because I have come a very long way in my own journey, today I have that experience to share my own story and with my own experience and think what works, what doesn't work.
I have also come a very long way from 8 or 9 years ago. 8 or 9 years ago, I was very deep in the fog of depression and mental health issues. Not saying I've cured them, But I have gotten to a point where I can pretend to be normal in some situation.
Yeah, I
But
mean, kudos to you. I mean, it's
yeah,
tough, I know, I understand.
can be, but I'm doing way better, like way better now than I was then. And it took work. This wasn't something where I just decided one day that I was all better. No, it took work. It took me
Yeah,
sitting down with
it did.
myself basically and saying, okay, you gotta knock this crap out. Let's go. And like slowly chipping away at that. It took a lot of growth and a lot of time to get to where I am at now. And it's
And I'm proud of
a
you. And
different picture than it was back then. So anyone can do it. If I can do it, anyone can do it. Like you can come back from the very
100%.
brink of darkness
100%.
and
I
out of
hear
it
you.
and come back
And
from it.
I'm proud that you come back. I'm proud of you. And I'm very happy that you are sharing your story because I suffered the same way. And at that time, I did not know what was narcissism. I did not know what was gaslighting. I did not know how that was affecting my personality. All I knew was I was hating myself. And I was ready to give up. Like, I can't do this anymore. I'm going. Today is my last day. That's where I was.
Very important to come back from that thought.
It took time. As you said, healing takes time. And the first step towards healing is sitting with yourself, which is so difficult. There was a point in my life where I wasn't feeling comfortable in being alone. I was like, whenever I was in that alone phase, I used to always think about all the negative emotional abuses which I have suffered. It was like a dark tunnel, or like a pit where, when I was falling down that spiral, it was so difficult for me to come out of that thing. Because then you only think about those things which has happened to you, how you reacted, how the other person affected you, what you said. It was kind of an unending conversation happening in my own mind, even when that thing has happened 4 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 8 years ago. It was like that.
A lot of people, when they picture darkness or the darkness that you go to when you're depressed, they're always like, it was like a train tunnel or whatever. And I don't find that to be true because mine was jagged. Like, as I fell down, that I couldn't see the light. I couldn't feel the light. I didn't know that the light was there. I had to piece by piece get back up and out before finally I was at a point where, wait, now I can see the light. And once you can see the light and you're working on yourself diligently, you get closer and closer to it. And I'm not talking about the one that takes you out of this earth, but the one that keeps you here. And so as I got back out of that deep, dark, whatever I was in, I was seeing things differently and in a whole different way than I had before, not only because of the trauma that happened, but because of being in the darkness that I had been in.
Yes.
And like I said, it takes time, but for me, it
It takes.
wasn't a, oh, well, it's a train tunnel. I've always been able to see the light. No, there were times, there were days, there were years where there was no light.
That happens. That has happened to me also. Everything started changing when, instead of revisiting those moments again and again, one day I was like, I'm fed up. I cannot do this anymore, but I want to change. So I started asking, like, why only I? Why I have to suffer this? Why I have to went through this? Why all the other people around me, they are very happy. And I am not jealous of their happiness. It's just why I cannot be happy. How can I turn things around where I get some sense of hope that, okay, things can change? And that is such a powerful thought and statement, because I remember when I first connected with my hypnotherapist. Actually, one of my friend, I used to have conversations with her. She connected me to him. And that's how everything started changing. So when you say about being in the dark place and staying there, that's where I was. And when you said that the moment you start trying to find that light and you are able to stay in that and then you go up, that's what happened to me as well. That one light of hope brought me so much assurance that, you know what, maybe it's not that bad. Because I still have time. I'm still so young. I can do things, right? And imagine I was like howling in that first session, crying, crying, crying. And he gave me one affirmation. What was that affirmation? Everything is getting better. Ah, oh my God, I was just writing that affirmation the other day. I forgot about it. Everything is getting better every day and in every way. That was my first affirmation. Everything is getting better every day and in every day. In that moment, because I was suffering emotionally, financially, mentally, like everything was like haywire. And I was a journalist at that time. I was not even a healer and a mentor or a life coach. I was a journalist. So I left 10 years of my job of doing journalism just like that. So imagine what state I was in. I read this affirmation. It brought me such a, it brought me kind of light. It gave me a sense that everything can get better. And by everything, I literally mean everything. I was always sick. I had multiple fractures every single, like every alternate years, I was meeting with some or the other accident. I don't know how that was happening, but I was inviting a lot of accidents in my life unknowingly. My shoulder was broke, my elbow was broke, my ankle was broke. Like, I was in such a miserable state. Even the doctor said that you won't be able to use your left hand. It's sorry. But fortunately, the universe has been a plan for me. I'm not saying it's completely healed, but at least it doesn't come in my way for doing any kind of stuff. So I'm very grateful and blessed about it. Right? So the moment you start saying that, okay, enough is enough, now I'm going to change my world around. Universe will start connecting you with those people who will help you to become you want to become.
Hey everyone, thanks for sticking with us. Before we dive into our next topic, I just want to take a quick moment to remind you to like this video, subscribe to our channel, and hit that notification bell. That way, you'll always be the first to know when a new episode drops. And we want to hear from you. What topics are you most excited about? Drop your thoughts in the comments below. Your feedback helps us create content that you love. We've got some exciting stuff coming your way, so don't miss out. Now, let's switch gears and jump into our next discussion.
There are a couple of things that you have to do. Now, if you are born with the skills and aptitudes and all that to become a leader, you probably still have to go through a trial of some kind before you can actually be a good one. Otherwise, you're over there with the gangs or whatever being their leader. Or just being a crappy leader in whatever place you're at, right? There's middle management is a thing. But so for me, if you want to develop the key skills in order to be a leader, or even if it's not like this is what I'm doing, like I'm going to be a leader type thing.
Yeah.
So what you just said, crawling back out, getting back out, and now you're in the light and you're changing what you're doing, you're a leader already. Because the first time you tell that story to someone, probably sobbing along the way, you're helping them come up behind you, which is the whole basis for my podcast in the first place. Because I've come through hell. There's that song. There's a country song. I love it. You're going through hell. Don't stop moving. Keep going. And maybe you'll get out before the devil even knows you're there. Don't remember who sings it. Somebody will say something eventually. But a great song, and it is the absolute truth. When you're in that dark little pocket of wherever you are, And you're struggling because you have no energy to do absolutely anything. You have no motivation to do absolutely anything. That conversation you have with yourself when you have absolutely had enough of your own crap that says, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not staying stuck here. This is not where I'm meant to be. This is no. And you start clawing with your fingertips to get out of where you are. That is the beginning of your leadership journey. Because you should, at some point, help the next person come up and out of that dark pit. However, that is for you. For you, it's being a coach that helps people with all of the trauma and stuff that they deal with. For me, it's telling people they need to shut up and keep going. Sometimes politer
Easy.
than that, sometimes politer than that, sometimes not. I don't tend to filter much. I do try not to cuss at too many people, but other than that, I don't really filter all that much. It's thought, mouth, gone. Sometimes it's just gone because, like, I said it and I was like, well, where'd that go?
That happens.
But that's a leader to me. Now you've got like Tony Robbins and all those other leaders or whatever who are up on stages and they're talking to people all at once. Sure, they're helping way more people than you might in your entire life. That doesn't make you any less of a leader. I don't think I want to be on a stage talking to 500 billion people. Now, I've been in the free online portion to some of those, like the 10X event or whatever. And you've got somebody from the organization will say, hey, if you click this link, it'll take you to something from us. And immediately you have 100 people going, wait. Do we click on that now or do we save it and wait it for later? Okay, that's not a leader. Okay, if you're not like comprehending things being told you, maybe you need to go back to the step where you go through trauma. I'll help you with that if you want. I would love to. I would love to give you some trauma because, like, you need it, apparently.
That's funny.
But those crucibles, those bad moments, those it's that's us being put into the refiner's fire. That is us as sand being put into the fire so that somebody can make a glass object. If you don't go through that process, you're always going to be shifty and easily moved. And I know where I stand. I know where I stand with my religion. I know where I stand with my stuff that I do for work, like I know where I stand.
Exactly.
I'm not shifty. I'm not the, oh, but you know, well, the only part I'm shifty on is how much I get paid. And that's because I want to be able to help people. And so I'll move my line on that. But it's not, oh, well, I need you to do this ad for beer that says you drink it every day. Yeah, not happening ever. Because I don't drink. I don't drink piss water. It's just not something I do.
I don't drink too. Like,
Life throws you curveballs, and sometimes it's just trying to help you get to the next step.
yeah, that's true. That's true.
Some of those curveballs had fire on them for some reason, and you caught a blaze for a little while. It was fine. It's out now, and we can move and start doing other things. Help the next person coming up behind you. Hey, you know what? When I was going through something similar, this is what I did. Take it or leave it as you will, but like this is what I did. I didn't go around telling everybody I was gonna stop smoking. I didn't do that. What I did was ask my friend, "Hey, can we go over here?" Go back to my sister's house one last time. I'm gonna have one last cigarette and I'll be done. I'm not gonna smoke anymore. And she was like, "Are you sure?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm sure." I went and had the most miserable cigarette of my life. It was like raining, and I'm standing outside smoking this stupid cigarette all by myself. And I'm like, "You know what? This isn't a brand I like. It's raining. I'm not interested in this." I didn't even smoke the whole thing. I got halfway through it and was just like, "I'm done. I'm just done." And I put that cigarette, I've not touched another one since. And that was in 2019.
Long time.
And I had smoked from the age of 17 until 2019. So, like, I smoked for a hot minute.
Wow. Well, hats off to your willpower, because that one statement, that one commitment, the phrase where you said, okay, no more, and the determination, because determination is everything. Determination to heal yourself, determination to take care of yourself, determination to bring back yourself, to becoming who you want to be or who you actually are. Everything lies in that determination. So you determined in that moment and it happened.
I mean, I still every once in a while will have a nightmare where I wake up feeling like I just had a cigarette and I'm like,
Yeah.
did I have a cigarette? Like the dream was so real and I'm going,
Yeah, sometimes that
I didn't really want it.
Yeah, that happens. So I'm a non-smoker. I'm a non-alcoholic person. And I don't eat meat, any kind of meat, any kind of seafood. I'm pure vegetarian too. So I don't know how it tastes. How I don't know. Like when I moved to the US 2021, got married to my husband, and he like occasionally drinks sometimes. So he will be like, "Why don't you try this?" And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to try, but because the smell is what throws me off. So even your body has a different way of telling what you can eat, what you cannot eat.
I am somebody who has texture issues and I don't like all that many vegetables. So when I was growing up and I don't like meat either. So, but I have like a couple of meats that I like. And so my mom was like, are you gonna start eating beans for your protein? And I was like, oh, hell no. And she was like, then you can't become a vegetarian because you'd have to eat a lot of salads and eat
Yeah,
beans for your
beans.
protein. And I kind of went,
Yes.
oh hell no, I ain't eating chalk for the rest of my life, no thank you. So I had to keep the meat in my diet.
Everything comes down to awareness. Everything. Your all the five senses will tell you. If you're a hypersensitive person like me, you will be able to read the energies when you walk into somebody's place, when you go outside. It becomes very overwhelming. For me, sometimes the sessions I take, they become very heavy as well. Because somebody is coming with a lot of stuff, you know? So even in that moment, holding the space for your own self, not only with your clients, holding the space for your own self become very important. And the grounding techniques, it can be found on YouTube as well. I'm planning to make some audios, like meditation audios, and to put it on my website just to give it away to whoever is in need. Those things help you to ground within. And then again, that also helps you to, deal with the feeling of loneliness. Because you are so much grounded within yourself that you start feeling, yeah, it is okay. I'm fine. I'm good. I can go ahead. It's okay. Like you start pampering yourself. You start supporting yourself as if you are talking to somebody else. Like somebody is, even if somebody is not living with you or living with you, but it's like, yeah, I know, I got this. It's okay, chill. You get that feeling. So yeah, I'm immensely grateful to the universe for this. Whatever I have become today, I'm very happy about it.
Everybody always talks about communication. They're like, oh, it's important. Oh, it's important. If you're a leader, it's 100% more important that you know how to communicate, not only with the people you're trying to help, but the people who are working with you so that they know what they're supposed to do. But you also, I see a lot of times nowadays, a lot of leaders have their ego out for everybody to see. Like, I'm doing this because I want to get gain. I'm doing this because I want to be seen. And it's I. When I am, what I am trying to do is point out that everything I do is to help somebody, right? Whether or not I'm getting paid for it doesn't matter. I am still, my thought in my brain isn't what am I going to do to get this money from this person? My thought has always been, what does this person need? How can I help this person get to their goal? I have goals. I haven't been good at writing them down, which is like stupid because I know better. Like, you know, self-care is one of those things I don't do all that well. But write your goals down. Plan them. So if you have a 3-year goal to have 100 followers on YouTube, okay, what are you going to do in the next 3 years that is going to get you those 100 followers? And why is it taking you 3 years? I really don't want this to take me 3 years to get that. Like, I have more now, actually, but kind of one of those things where you're like, why is it taking you that long? So you have to set realistic goals because 100 goals and 100 likes in 3 years is probably a lot low, probably up. But at the same time, you want them realistic for you. Are you posting on a regular schedule? Are you doing stuff that is going to help you? If you just make the goal, so I'm going to have 100 followers in 3 years on YouTube, right? And I'm only using this as an example because it's very, like, you can see the progress, right? Okay. And you do nothing. 6 months from now, you're still just doing that whatever post that you put up there to begin with, maybe a few more. But you don't see anybody's following you. There's nobody coming to your page. Are you going to sit down and cry? Or are you going to go, okay, well, I'm doing something wrong. Let's figure it out. Right? You figure that part out. And then you go on to the next part. You're like, okay, well, now I'm posting more consistently. You know, I'm doing great. It's fine, whatever. And then another 6 months goes by and you still don't have any viewers. And you're like, okay, well, what am I doing? Oh, I don't have any thumbnails on anything. I don't know why it's taking you 6 months to figure that out, but whatever, float your boat. I need to put thumbnails on these things so people will come view them because, you know, you gotta have that shocked looking face for some reason on your thumbnails, right? So you do that. And then all of a sudden, you know, you look at it again and it's, oh, it's only been 2 days since I started putting thumbnails on. And look at that. I've got 50 followers. You know? And then you go back and you know what? My titles are probably stupid. I put Joe Smo. Maybe that's bad. You know? And so then you go back in and you do the thing with your titles and your descriptions and make them mean something. Oh no, now I have 500 followers. How to do that? That's way above my goal. You're not checking in and looking. You're not going to be able to become a leader because obviously you don't care about doing anything because you're not checking on your goals. You're not making. The easiest way to do it is to set your goal and create goalposts where, okay, so in 2 weeks, I should have 2 followers because I've done this and this. And then you check in. And then you say, okay, so in 6 months, if I keep doing these things and add this and this, I'll have 100 followers. And so that helps you. So your goal should do exactly that. They should be something you can check in on and adapt as needed. Once you're not done with them, because you're never done with goals, you should always have goals. But once you've gotten to a certain point with your goals, you can turn around and help the next one come up. The next person wandering confusedly now has a reason to go set some goals that they can have realistic expectations for the next thing that comes down. And you have to learn how to communicate them. I talk a lot to myself, usually not to people, but you have to know how to communicate in whatever way that is. If you don't speak English, if you speak some other language, then I don't know why you're on my podcast. I only speak English. But go speak that language and make sure that your communication is strong in that language. If you're sign language, then make sure that you are strong with your signs so that when you're communicating with people that know them, you can be 100% sure that you're getting the correct message across. learn for yourself what it means to write. Everybody's got ghostwriters these days. Oh, I didn't have to write that. AI wrote it for me. Now, this is what I do with AI. When I have something I have to write, I write something myself. I get all the main points I want to have, and then I go to AI and I'm like, how can I make this better? Make sure you correct for punctuation, spelling, and everything else, because I don't do that correctly. And it gives me back something that, hey, it was originally written by a human, but they've taken it to that next level so that it
Improvised
looks
it,
better.
yeah.
They improved on it. They didn't just have to come out with nothing, because that's how you get everybody talking about Sally. Who cares about Sally? But so use AI to enhance, not do the whole thing.
Yeah.
But also, the other thing with leaders is you're supposed to lead by example. Goes a little haywire when you're me and you don't really do some of the stuff you know you're supposed to, because I could tell you all day long to get goals, write them down, break them up. Like, I know how to do it. I've done it. I have it's done. I have it in my head all broken down and I'm fine. But writing them down sets them in stone. And for some reason, I have this thing on my brain that goes, yeah, don't set it in stone. We don't know if we're gonna do it. So I totally think that you should do that, and I am going to work on that because it needs to be set in stone. Because it needs, this is the, think of goals as your yellow brick road. You can't get lost if you follow the yellow brick road, right? Because if it turns red, that's obviously not what you wanted. You keep going with the gold one. And then eventually, again, turn around and tell the next person, hey, look, this is the road. Get on this road, it'll help you. It went right from the town all the way to the Emerald City through a sleeping flower patch or something, but it's fine. So leadership 100% is born and something that you can create yourself. But it's not easy and it's not going to take a day.
I mean, it's a process. It's a process. You beautifully mentioned that if you can figure your way out, you can help others to figure their way out. It's a beautiful statement, right? But again, it also takes willingness to reach out to people who are in need. I could have stayed in my journalism job even after learning all these things. But I didn't. Why? Because I felt like this is not going to bring me that fulfillment and the meaning and purpose which I'm looking for in my life. Because I know the struggles I went through. There are thousands and thousands of people who went through the same kind of struggles. And maybe they don't even know who to reach out to. They're not even aware. Because back in 2016, when I decided that I need to change, we also had very limited amount, of resources. My journey started with therapies, counseling sessions, then hypnotherapy, then healing, and then all those things. Like, it's a whole lot of stuff. Whatever suits with you. Some people start feeling better with talk therapy. Some people start feeling better with medicine. Some people start feeling better with healing. For me, healing on the subconscious mind was the most powerful thing because subconscious mind is powerful than the conscious mind. And the results are lasting and people see the change. I felt the change. I saw myself transforming from where I was to where I am or where I was going. So it became my passion. So somebody, even when I'm shooting out my resumes these days to, for a part-time job or something, the purpose I write like, what, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? I just write, I see myself helping as many as people I can to bring a shift in their perspective and mindset so that they can have a better life. Because if I'm able to bring some kind of shift, even to a single person in a whole day or maybe in a whole week, That's a big thing for me because I know that person is going to come back and share the experience, what he or she had with me, and how he or she is consistently working towards that. Because consistency is another point. If you're not consistent, then things are going to go haywire. Just like you were giving the example of YouTube. If you're not doing work, it's not going to take you anywhere. And it's important in every areas of their life, being consistent in learning new things, being consistent in being disciplined, being consistent in learning in better communication and leadership skill, whatever you can, whatever your choice of interests are.
And thank you for coming.